All right, I'm on a lesson series that I've been doing called Life Lessons from the Old Testament. This is part three. I know, you've heard Jonah, and every time people think of Jonah, they think of what? Jonah and the what? Whale. Well, this is not the same kind of thing. The whale plays a big part, but at the same time, it's not. In the story of Jonah, it's just simply called a great fish. I think in the gospel it's referred to as a whale. But the first part one was back in May 23rd. That was the story of Joseph. And then we had some different reasons, but we had a long spell. And then last week we did the story of King David. And so tonight, Life Lessons coming from the Old Testament is going to be from Jonah. And first of all, you have to know a couple of things. Jonah was just a very reluctant prophet. Now, it amazes me the kind of man that Jonah was. If he's on speaking terms with God, and he was, you could also go back in 2 Kings, I think it's 14 and maybe 25, if I have that correct. I'm going by memory, so I could be off. I know it's in 2 Kings, but Jonah is mentioned, okay? And he prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam the number two. So he was a prophet, and he was a well-known prophet, even though he's just barely mentioned. But then in the book of Jonah, and it only takes minutes to read, I recommend folks you go back and read Jonah, simply because if you're going to dig for gold, you know, the book of James is one of them. The book of Jonah is one of them. I mean, you can mine so many things out of these books. They're just so wonderful. But God asked Jonah to go preach to a city called Nineveh. Now, back then, Nineveh would be the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, I don't know how big the empire was, but I know how big the city was. It was pretty much a 3 days journey walk to go through that city. And I kept trying to think, well, do we have a city that large, or maybe even a state that large, that it takes 3 days to walk across the whole thing? I don't know. So the thing is, he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. So you know the story. He runs away and he gets swallowed up by a fish and all this other stuff, and he gets vomited up on the shore. And I've told this before, and it's always funny to me, but if you're sitting there fishing and then all of a sudden somebody gets vomited up by a fish and he says, repent, I think I'd repent. And that's the thing. Jonah was spit out of this, and the book even says the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spit out Jonah. So we're going to pick up on chapter 3 for our life lessons. So what can we learn from this reluctant prophet? So verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1 says this, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So God had already given him instructions to preach to Nineveh. But how gracious God is to speak to him a second time. How many of us in here have had second chances? Maybe third, fourth, fifth. I mean, you could count them. And the fact is, I've heard the gospel for years, but there was only a particular seasons in my life that I ever responded to the gospel. And finally, I know we sing that song, I Never Shall Forget the Day, but I don't know the day when I finally grabbed hold, I like to say, of his garment and don't want to let go. I don't know exactly that day, but I remember coming to my senses and saying, you know, I have to take a stand. I have to make it. I've got to make it. And there's a prayer, or I think Jesus says, or one of the writers, the apostles, he says, pray always that ye be worthy to stand before the Son of Man when he comes. Now, why would you pray such a thing? Because it's so easy to fall away. It's so easy to do what Jonah did. Jonah ran away. And we'll talk a little bit about why, but Jonah ran away. He didn't want to do what God told him. But how gracious it is of our God to give us a second chance. Even when we are just outright disobedient, you might think, well, you're no good. God's just going to toss you out and let you go. No, he teaches us differently when he tells us the story of the prodigal son. There was a guy, if anybody ought to have been kicked out of the family, there was a guy who should have been kicked out. But the father in the parable actually was waiting day and night. He was looking for his son to return. And sure enough, he did. And that's what God does. He's just waiting for us to return. So verse 3. So the first life lesson is God gives you second chances. Okay, so verse 3. So Jonah arose. Ha! He learned better. Okay, finally Jonah learns his lesson. And this time he's not going to fool around. So Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. How far do you think you could walk in a day? Well, I think in general, people will typically walk up to 10 miles, some more, in a day, especially when in the heat. You know, you got to understand, back in that culture and location, it was very hot. So they'd have to take a lot of breaks and whatnot and take plenty of water. But so I imagine that city was at least 30 miles long, okay? Just guessing. I imagine it was 30 miles long. Well, he'd already walked into it 10 miles or thereabouts, 10 miles. We know the people on the road to Emmaus, when they walked from where the disciples were to their house, that was already about 7 miles. If you do the calculations and whatnot, that was 7 miles. And what's interesting is when Jesus revealed himself at the end, they walked back real fast when it was near the end of the day. So probably it was dark by the time they got back to tell the disciples. So Jonah enters into the city for a day's journey. So that's about 10 miles perhaps. And he cried, okay, this was his preaching, and said, "Yet 40 days... and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's not a hard message, but that's what he spoke. 40 days. God's given you 40 days to straighten up or you're going to be overthrown. Actually, he didn't say it that way. I'm adding a little bit to it. Probably shouldn't. But he's saying 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. So the life lesson here is to, if God gives you a task, or lays it on your heart to do a task, go do it. Sometimes it won't make sense. God may ask you to do something and it doesn't make no sense whatsoever, but there's a purpose behind it. Okay? I have read too many stories, have heard too many testimonies to where things have happened, like the one Eddie gave this morning. Remember the green card? And the woman who swept it up, and she was about to toss it away, and something spoke to her. You know, it was God, we believe. It was, Lord spoke to her and said, "Hold on to that. Somebody needs it." And sure enough, Eddie came looking for it, and he found it. So I believe God will give you a task. It might be a simple task, might be a major task. But the life lesson here is whatever task he gives you, please do it. Please do it. I may have told you already about, I had a cousin who I knew was not leading a life for the Lord. I knew that. And I'd go visit my mom, who was sick with COPD, and I'd go at the bottom of Staffordsville. And his place, I would have had to turn to the left, but my home was to the right. Well, I was tired. It was a long day, and I was I kept hearing a voice tell me, go see him, go talk to him. And I would disobey and go on home. And that happened 3 or 4 times. And then I get a call. Isn't that how it always is? I get a call. He shot himself in the head, and he's in the hospital. And I'm sitting here blaming myself, you know, and I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? And I went to visit him at the hospital. This was before COVID, obviously, and went to visit him at the hospital. So I was expecting to see somebody comatose or mostly dead or whatnot. The fact that he's even alive surprised me. And I went in the door, knocked on it, and he turned around, looked at me, and went, hello, Earl. And I'm like, okay, is this a trick? Did somebody lie or what? And then he says, yeah, I guess you heard I shot myself. And I said, yes, I did. I said, but you're speaking, you know, you're talking and all this. Pam, you may even know who it is. I'm not sure. If you don't, I'll tell you afterwards. But anyway, what he did, he shot himself behind the ear. And at the very last second, he turned his head. And the bullet went in the brain, but it went around his skull. And it traveled around his skull, and it lodged on the other side. And it was a small caliber bullet, but it paralyzed him kind of on the left side. But he survived. And anyway, I was just flabbergasted by the fact that he was conscious, he was awake, and God gave, and thank the Lord, I was able to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord, and which not everybody receives it. I hope he did go back and think about it, but that day he wouldn't pray the sinner's prayer or anything, wouldn't acknowledge that he needed the Lord, and I kept trying to convince him. But anyway, I had a small task and I didn't do it. And I wondered, I really did, I wondered if I had followed the Lord's leading at the time, could that have been prevented? I don't know. But I did get to witness to him. Thank God for that. And so that's a life lesson. If you got a task, do it. Do it. And Jonah had a large task because he had to walk 3 days through that city preaching this same message, just crying out to the city. And so he had at least probably 30 miles, maybe more, of walking through this capital city full of people. And you'll find out in a minute, there's a lot of people. All right, so what happened? Here he is preaching. So verse 5, it says this, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Oh, how wonderful. See, there's a life lesson there. Sometimes people will believe your message. If you're given a task to deliver a message, people will sometimes believe it. And they will get saved. Glenn, you've told me stories. Other people have told me stories where, you know, you get calls or whatnot and you talk to people and you finally get an opportunity to witness and they give their heart to the Lord. And that's such a great thing to be part of. And so this thing with Jonah, he's preaching to the people that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days, and Nineveh believed him. They believed him. I wish Chastity was here. Chastity asked the question, when do you know, or how do you know when to fast? Okay, that was her question to me the other night. Remember when we got on Bible study on that subject of fasting? That really wasn't the point of the Bible study, but we sort of dwelt on that for a little bit, and that was a very interesting discussion. And afterwards, Chastity asked me, she said, well, when do you know that it's good to fast? Well, it said here, as soon as the people believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and in doing so, this was a tradition of what's referred to as afflicting the soul. So when you're not eating, not drinking, you also put on sackcloth, which is like a sack, okay? Old clothes, you take off your good clothes, you put on sackcloth, and not even just that, but you even throw ashes into the air because that's a sign of of deep, deep mourning. Okay, you're mourning for your sins. So they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. It said, from the greatest, I love this, from the greatest of them, even to the least. Oh, if our nation, if Congress would simply proclaim a fast, and I know there'd be a lot of people in the United States, they're too liberal not to even bother with that. They'll bother with anything else, but if they would, Congress were to proclaim a fast and people would fast, this nation would be a completely different nation than what we have now. And so we as Christians have to fast for our nation. And so sometimes that's a requirement. But the thing is, the life lesson here is that sometimes people will believe your message. Keep that in mind. They will believe your message. Even so, in verse 6, it says this, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and here we go, and he sat in ashes. Again, this is the custom of when you're proclaiming a fast like they did. He sat in sackcloth and ashes. It's a sign of deep mourning. So this is the other life lesson, is the fact that even your leaders could believe the message. Now, we know a lot of them don't, or at least haven't shown that they do. But sometimes the leaders will believe the message and will follow suit with the people. And they will also repent. And man, that could be a game changer for this nation right now. I mean, if we just had leaders in place who believed God, we wouldn't have nearly the amount of abortion. We wouldn't have nearly the amount of riots. We wouldn't have nearly the amount of killings that go on in Chicago. I don't know if you know this, but every Monday, I'm almost tired of seeing it, really, but almost every Monday they come out with how many killings happened in Chicago over the weekend with Lori Lightfoot as mayor there. And I don't know if you guys realize it, but crimes and killing has gone skyrocketed in her city. One, because she don't want help. That's pretty silly. She don't want help. Actually, I think she's asking it from Biden, but she wouldn't have it from Trump. But killings are going on. And what's sad about that whole situation is that young children are being killed accidentally through drive-by shootings and all this stuff. It's just terrible. So even leaders will believe the message. So verse 7, it's not a very long chapter here, you'll notice. So verse 7, and this is the king, okay? So, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, get this, let neither man nor beast. Think about that for just a moment. Neither man nor beast. That would be your pets, your herds, okay? Herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. That's the definition of a fast, folks. You don't eat, you don't drink. Now, in some types of fasting, you do drink water, okay? It's easy to become dehydrated. The most you could typically fast is 3 days that way, unless it's what we refer to as a miracle fast. Now, I don't know if you know who all's done a miracle fast, but that would be something like 40 days. Jesus did it. Moses did it. Moses did it twice. I don't know if you know that. Moses did it twice, 40 days, without food and maybe no water. But the only thing that kept him alive would have been God, because not many people can survive that long. In fact, Jerry Falwell fasted, but he took vitamins and drank coffee and other things like that, which I don't know how he could do it for 40 days, but he was fasting because there wasn't enough money to finish whatever it was he was trying to do. And I think he might have even had to do it a second time. I'm not sure about that, but poor Jerry, I think at one point shortly after he died, in his office. And I wondered, often wondered if it was because of that, of his devotion to whatever it was going on. He fasted and maybe it took its toll on him. But anyway, so he said, you don't even feed your animals. Poor animals had to fast right along with the people. Okay? Verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Okay? Sign of mourning. And cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. You see, they finally got the message. They understood that if this message is true, the life lesson here is to fast, pray to God, and take no chances. That's why they included the animals. They weren't going to feed even the animals. The animals had to fast right along. I feel sorry for the kids. There's probably some hungry kids back then too, but I'm sure nobody ate a thing for who knows how long this went on. But the life lesson here is to turn away from your wicked ways. Anything that has violence, evil into it, you have to turn away from it. You have to repent. And that's what they were doing from the king and the nobles on down to the least. And the great thing about that is Jonah, simply wanting to preach, or simply preaching to them, not wanting to, but he preached to them this simple message that in 40 days, God's going to destroy you. And so in verse 9, here's the thing. Who can tell? I think we highlighted that. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Now we know this is not repent of sin. It means changing of the mind. If God will turn and change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. So you have to understand the life lesson here is that you don't necessarily know the outcome. You know, you may be fasting for something and praying hard for something, and you have no idea what's going to happen. Because it's just like he says here, who can tell? Who knows? I always say you never can always sometimes tell what God's going to do, because the thing is, God does what he wills. And they didn't even know that in their deep state of mourning and fasting, that they didn't know what the outcome was going to be, because they were questioning it. Who knows? Who can tell if God will change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger and that we perish not? Well, here's the good news. Verse 10, and we're getting ready to come to a close here. Verse 10, and God saw their works. In other words, they had in the city a repentant heart. And because of that, God was willing, okay, to change his mind. So he said, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. So they were sincere, and God repented of the evil. He changed his mind of what he was going to do to them, that he had said that he would do unto them, which was what? Overthrow them in 40 days, and he did it not. So the life lesson here is that the possibilities of salvation can come at any moment. It can come at any moment. Don't give up. Don't give up when you pray for whatever the situation is. Your children, if you're sick, for whatever the situation is. Don't give up. Keep praying. And God, because who can tell? Who knows? God might just rescue you very soon out of whatever dilemma your life is in right now. Salvation will come, and it will only come through the Lord. Through the Lord. And we should always, always when that happens, give Him praise. So to wrap this up, what are we going to do? Well, Jonah, this is what boggles my mind, okay? Maybe it'll boggle yours too. But Jonah was unhappy. God just spared a large number of people. Think about how huge the city was, 3 days' journey of walking, probably at least 30 miles, maybe bigger. And He just spared them from total destruction. And Jonah was upset to the point he even cried to the Lord, "Lord, kill me now." Really, he said that. "Lord, kill me now." Go back and read it in chapter 4. I just want to show you two verses of chapter 4. So chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. In other words, not a little bit. It displeased Jonah a lot. So much so, and he was very angry. Because what did Jonah want? He wanted the people of Nineveh, who were their enemies, he wanted them destroyed. Everybody in the whole city, he wanted them destroyed. How do I know this? Verse 2. It says here, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?" So now we know a little bit of the conversation he had with the Lord before he ran away. "Was this not my saying while I was still, you know, up in my country?" He said, "Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish." Here we go, life lesson. "For I knew that thou art a gracious God." Yes. Oh my, He is so gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He repenteth thee of the evil. In other words, He changes His mind what do you want to call it? Punishment. God is merciful. And so the life lesson here is that pray, turn away from your wicked ways, and God will be merciful to you. He's, like He said, He's slow to anger. But the great thing, He's so gracious. He's so gracious. That's why He sent His only Son, to die on a cross. Even if it would have been just for one person only, He would have sent His Son to die and for that one person and raise again so that He might have eternal life. Don't you just love these stories? I mean, here we have a prophet you can be on speaking terms with God on the one hand and have so much hate in your heart for a people. Boggles my mind, because Jonah was so upset, he said he would rather die. He hated them that much. So I don't know what you think about that, but that's interesting. I think that's very interesting. So I want to close with that. I want to close out the CD. If anybody wants prayer afterwards, I'll be happy, so happy to pray for you. Heavenly Father, as we wrap up with this story of Jonah, we know he hated the people he went to preach to. I find that a very odd thing. And the fact that he was on speaking terms with God, and yet God had mercy on Jonah as well. So He had mercy on Jonah and all of the people involved in the whole story of Jonah. And so, Lord, I thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace. And I pray, Lord, that You will bestow it upon each and every heart and soul here. We have people, Lord, in our families who don't know You, and they don't understand the mercy and grace that we understand. And Lord, I pray that they find it. And only through the Spirit of the living God that will they find it. We ask you to draw them, Lord, and bring them home. So we ask all of these favors, not because we've done anything good ourselves, but because, Lord, you are gracious, you are merciful, you're slow to anger. And so, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bring them and draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.